From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. So how do you make STEM fun for kids? A workshop coming to Boise State University this summer will teach teachers how to do just that. The free camp shows teachers how to put together scientific experiments for their kids back in the classroom. And our senior producer, Samantha Wright, wanted to find out just what the teachers will be learning. So she teamed up with Dr. Amy Mall, professor and director of the Micron School of Materials Science and Engineering, and Dr. Harold Ackler, clinical assistant professor and materials teaching lab coordinator. They got together in a science lab over at Boise State University. Let's take a listen.
What I'm doing here is I'm just getting the experiment set up. So this one is a corrosion experiment. It's intended to give students an idea of what happens to a metal when you put it in different kinds of solutions, different environments, basically corrosion or rusting, things like that. So I am following an experiment laid out by the ASM teacher camp that's going to be hosted here in the summer.
In July.
And we need more teachers.
Yes, we do need more teachers.
To sign up. It's free.
Free for the teachers.
And this, let's be clear, this is a school for teachers.
Correct. It's a one-week workshop that is for teachers. It's linked to the science standards, so they'll have stuff they can take back to their classroom, but it's focused on material science. And material science is, as I like to say, everything's made of something. So what material scientists do is work on making that material better so you make cooler stuff out of it.
I looked at some of the videos online. Really cool stuff, making ice cream with nitrogen, making foam out of materials. Can I say that this is a way for teachers to learn how to make science more fun for their kids?
Right. Way to make more fun and see how it applies sort of to your everyday life, right? This experiment's about stuff rusting, right? And we all know, well, now we don't put salt on our roads, but if you're from the Midwest, right, or you're on the Oregon coast, you worry about things rusting. So understanding how things rust, why they rust, how to make that better, that's applied science, right? That's what material science is. So you can see how it applies to your real life, and we can make it fun.
And I got lots of things rusted in my backyard, I'm sure, and so do you if you're anything like me. Harold, what are we doing?
Okay, so what we have here is this was laid out to be a very simple experiment that a person can do with whatever they happen to have lying around their house, or they can acquire at a grocery store or a hardware store. So we've got four beakers of water. You could just use a cup if you want. One of them just has tap water. One of them is going to have tap water and about a teaspoon of salt, just table salt. Another one's going to have about half tap water, half hydrogen peroxide that you get at your in the drugstore. And then the other one, the last one, number four, is going to be tap water, hydrogen peroxide, and salt. So each of these is going to have a different interaction with our metal, which is steel wool. So the steel wool, you know, it's just fuzzy. It's a lot of really fine wires. And there's a lot of surface area for this solution to interact with the metal. So it speeds it up. We can see it faster. We see if there's any bubbling or reacting or rust color developing.
And this is just a scrubby pad, looks like, of steel wool.
It's a scrubby pad. Yep, steel wool.
All right. Yep. So he's pulling it, I'm guessing, into four different pieces because we have four cups.
Mm-hmm. I'm pulling this biscuit, what it looks like, shredded wheat.
Very dark shredded wheat.
I didn't want to eat this.
Perhaps you burnt the shredded wheat today.
Yeah, very badly. It's kind of tough.
Okay, you're putting salt into the...
The beakers.
The beakers, the two that require salt.
Mm-hmm. Numbers 2 and 4.
Okay. And these are all labeled, so we know exactly what's going on.
That's right. And then... Now to add some hydrogen peroxide.
And that'll go in two of the beakers.
Mm-hmm. Numbers 3 and 4.
So far, nothing has exploded.
Not yet.
And yes, you can try this at home.
Yes.
This is a safety experiment. Okay, now you're stirring.
Stirring the salt to dissolve it all. Sometimes we shake our experimental solutions, but I prefer them stirred.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. No martinis died in the creation of this experiment.
No olives were harmed.
No olives were harmed. That's even better.
In there. Okay, so now we put the steel wool in each solution, and we wait a while and see what happens. So the teachers at this summer camp are going to be learning how to do this, to do it with their students back at their schools. So the instructions say that the students should do this, and then they will take notes of what happens and think about why it happens and what's going on. So into the tap water, I'll use the little one in the tap water. There's the salt water.
Okay, you're putting it in. You're putting the bits of steel wool into. You're going to go number three
number
now.
Three, this is hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
And then into number four, the salt and hydrogen peroxide. And it's a horse race.
All right, so now we wait. So far, it's not instantaneous. We wait and see what happens.
Science is often slow.
He's turning the beaker so we can see what's going to happen in each one. Mm-hmm. Oh, one is starting to turn color.
Yeah, number four, salt and peroxide, is bubbling and starting to turn a rusty color.
Ooh.
I wonder what's happening.
I bet it's rusting, but that's just a guess. I'm not a scientist.
I think you're pretty close.
Now you are, but now you are a scientist.
Nice. And this is pretty fast. I mean, this is a good quick reaction.
Just a minute or two. Yeah, and it's generating so many bubbles on the stainless steel, not stainless steel, but the steel wool fibers, that it's floating. Number three with the peroxide is bubbling
a bit now.
A little bit.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And that one just has the peroxide, not peroxide and salt.
Yes.
Okay, so that is also reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
But the one with both peroxide and salt is kind of a nice, rusty, frothy brew.
It is a brown, rusty color.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that reacted quickly.
It did.
You set everything up. You do the experiment, you start seeing results, and then you start talking about why it happens from different points of view, you know, if you're trying to figure out how things rust or how to fix things from rusting and all of that, and that way you can get the kids to start thinking about the scientific process, yes?
Yeah. Another fun thing about the experiment is in terms of the student, right, you could ask them, how would you, what do you observe, how would you measure what's happening, right? How could we measure how much rust we're getting, right? Color of the water, amount of bubbles, right? But that can be something that, because it's so interactive, because it's happening right in front of them, they can start to think about that instead of what we often do is just tell them what they should measure, right? We can get the students involved in what should I measure? How would I measure this?
So, tap water, still boring. Tap water and salt, starting to do some stuff. Tap water and hydrogen peroxide is starting to discolor and turn more orangey, and then number four, tap water, salt, and hydrogen peroxide has gone to town.
It's nasty.
It is nasty. That is definitely rusted. Oh, look at that.
Yes,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
How was our experiment? Was it successful?
It was successful, and I think the one with salt and peroxide actually surprised me. It was faster and more aggressive than I thought it would be.
And I always like thinking about the follow-up. Now, what do I do as an engineer to make this better and make sure things don't rust?
And joining us now to talk about the science workshop for teachers are Dr. Amy Mall and Mike Hurley, Associate Professor of Materials Science and Engineering at Boise State. Mike will be running the ASM Materials Camp coming in July. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Hi.
So, Mike, let me start with you. What is the ASM Materials Camp exactly?
What is it? It's an outreach program to basically help teachers make science more engaging for kids and communicate a little bit about what material scientists do to kids at a younger age, before they get to college. And so it's giving teachers tools to help them bring it into their classroom.
And how long has ASM been teaching teachers how to make STEM more engaging for kids?
It's actually been quite a while.
Oh, go ahead.
I was like, Mike, I don't know if I know the answer to this, but this camp has been around for a while and has gotten really positive reviews, I think for at least 10 years, kind of across the country. This is the first time Boise State is hosting a camp, and I think the first time we're hosting inside of Idaho. But I know they have quite a few years of experience, and I think it's more than 10.
So let's talk about some of the experiments, because, I mean, just listening back to the piece that Sam put together that we all just listened to, I mean, it sounds fun. And I think sometimes when we talk about science, kids kind of all of a sudden just roll their eyes. And, you know, I think it doesn't seem fun. But I think part of it is, you know, experiments are fun, right? So And they can be dramatic and kids can learn something. So, Mike, I mean, when you think of the experiments themselves, you know, how much of that goes into your planning in the sense of, okay, not only do I have to think about engaging teachers, but then it's like, I've got to make sure the teachers can engage so that they can engage the kids.
Well, let's see. I think the way, so we definitely want to, I mean, the idea of making it fun is to help engage, you know, students' brains better mm-hmm. and more. And specifically, you know, we're college professors. And so what ASN does is they actually involve high school teachers that do this. So it kind of bridges the link between kind of, I would say, the professors and the K through 12 teachers, because now we're working with actual teachers that teach the teachers. And they're more familiar with the K through 12 curriculum and the requirements there. And they also kind of help us understand which activities are most engaging, you know, for that group.
And Amy, I mean, this is more than just, you know, fun, right? I mean, I would think that there would be a lot of opportunity for kids to learn more about STEM when they are doing experiments. So, can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I always think people like think, what the heck do engineers do? Do they just sit in a corner and do math, or do they just sit in front of a computer? And I really think engineering is about applying science, and it's about making the world a better place. So how do we get that message out to K-12 students, out to the teachers, that it's like this? This has engineering has impact all over the world. We need more engineers. And what do they do? How do we make that interesting? So this is really a chance to get that in the teachers' hands, which then allows them to communicate to all of their students over the years.
And I think that's such a good point, right? Because, I mean, I've got a ninth grader and I've got a fifth grader. And just the other day, my ninth grader was complaining about math. And, you know, I hate math. And I mean, And I don't like science, but he's got a real aptitude for both. And he's, you know, and he says, the reason why I like Spanish class is because that's going to be useful. And I'm like, well, math and science are useful. And he was, you know, and I said, you know, especially if you're going to be an engineer. And he's like, well, why would I ever do that? And I think it's, you know, but here's a kid that has aptitude, right? So how do you take that aptitude and turn it into curiosity and engagement?
Right. And so you look at, right, he's possibly got a smartphone, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, where did that come from? How does it work? You know, what are the future things we can do with it? And that was all engineered, right? And there's an amazing number of materials in there. And so that's seeing the application, right? And it's not easy for a high school, middle school teacher to have that breadth of experience, right, with everything else that's on their plate. So the idea of this camp is we give them those activities. They see how to bring it back, and then they can take that to their students and go, hey, here is engineering's cool, right? It does all kinds of cool stuff. I hope your ninth grader and your fifth grader would like to come by sometime and visit the labs. But it's also, we do have several camps through the summer for students. But one of our ideas here is how do we get more of this information out there? And by working with teachers, right, then we're affecting all the students they see versus just the students we've brought in the summer. I think that's also important. But yeah, it's that expansion of understanding that engineering is a really awesome career. And lots of opportunities.
Well, and I think, too, there's, I mean, I even remember growing up that it was like the idea of engineering and things like that just seemed so far beyond my capabilities. And I mean, they probably were. But with that said, it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, the STEM field like hasn't had a great marketing campaign, right? And what I mean by that is other jobs seem cooler. And when you're dealing with middle school kids and high school kids, I mean, that makes a difference sometimes.
Well, Mike and I think we are super cool, so we're not really sure why this perception is out there.
I agree.
But the other thing I tell people, like when I introduce material sciences, I'm like, you're already a materials engineer. You already make material selections all the time. I don't know, Jim, if you're drinking, if you've got a glass of water or a cup of coffee in front
of you. I do.
But yes. what's that fluid in?
Oh, it's in a water bottle, of course.
It's What's the water bottle made of?
Metal.
Yeah. Why'd you choose metal, right? Versus plastic versus a ceramic. You're making material selection choices all the time. Now, that may seem kind of mundane, right? If it's a hot liquid, maybe I put it in a ceramic cup, because if I put it in a metal cup, it might burn my lip. But you are making those kind of decisions, and those are the kinds of decisions materials engineers make when it's like, how do I make a cover for a smartphone that doesn't scratch and doesn't break when I accidentally drop it, but I want it to be clear and transparent? So we're doing this all the time. I think we fail to talk about all the daily ways where we need scientists and need engineers. So part of this camp is kind of making that more apparent.
I love that. I mean, I think especially when you can engage kids on a level that's important to them, right? And so when you talk about the smartphones, I'm like, oh yeah, my kid would be interested in that, right? But would never think that that's science.
Right. Or what's your hobby, right? If you're a skier,
right,
what's your ski made out of? If you're a mountain biker, what type of material was your frame made out of, and why did you pick that? Right. And so this is happening all the time. And we just don't always sort of illustrate it for our students.
Yeah. So let's get back to the camp itself. Mike, how many teachers are you hoping to have at the camp this year?
Okay. Yeah. So we are hoping for 30. And we're really, you know, using this to help spread the word. We basically just need to let teachers know that it's out there, that it's free, and that we've got 30 spots for them.
So it's free. You've got 30 spots for them. So, and is it any K through 12 grade?
It is. And the idea, you know, is that teachers who are passionate about STEM or looking for ways to bring STEM into their curriculum and reach the students that, we want you to come be interested in this and sign up.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, as you said, this is the first time ASM has come to Boise State, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And why was it important to bring it? As you, I know you mentioned in the beginning of our chat that these camps have been held all over the country, but why decide now? You know what, we should offer this.
Yeah, some of the driving force is just what you said, right? People don't consider engineering. And when you look at what's happening with Micron, with them expanding their manufacturing facilities, they're going to need to hire more engineers. And material science is one of the fields where they look to hire from. So how this is this kind of incentivize us to do this and reach out to ASM and bring the camp here. We've been thinking about it for a while, but there was a little extra emphasis. And also, Dr. Hurley got a grant that helps pay for this. So that was another reason that allowed us to bring it this time. We're also continuing to look for community sponsors who might want to sponsor a teacher or help us put on this camp so it stays free for teachers.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking time out of your day to talk about this. And I tell you, it's made me more interested in STEM. So I really appreciate the conversation.
We'll let you come over and participate in some of the camp if you'd like to.
I would like to do some of the experiments and then tell my kids, like, see, science is cool. Like, listen to your mom once in a while. Yeah. We've been speaking with Dr. Amy Mall, professor and director of the Micron School of Material Science and Engineering, as well as Mike Hurley, associate professor of material science and engineering at Boise State. We've been chatting about this summer's ASM Materials Camp for teachers. We will, of course, put a link to the camp and pictures of that rust experiment on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.